I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies. Welcome to another session of Muslim Lady. While you're listening to us from IRB English Radio, I have the very much honor to be your host. And in this studio, as usual, we're talking about topics that concern the Muslim lady. Well, for today's session, we have Sister Zainab in here.
Assalamu alaikum to dear listeners, and assalamu alaikum, Sister Asma.
Wa alaikum assalam. Well, so happy to have you here. As the audience must know, recently we've started a discussion about the book that talks about the lifestyle of Lady Fatima.
Yeah.
And we actually talked about different sort and aspects of this lifestyle, and today I guess it's time for us to talk about clothing.
Yes. So we have been talking about the individualistic ethics because we divided them into mm-hmm. the individualistic ones and social ones and spiritual ethics that a person has. So starting with the individual ethics, we came about the table manners, what kind of table manners were practiced in the family of Lady Zahra, salamu alayha. And we covered that. And next important feature that a person does is clothing.
Yeah. How to dress up.
How to dress up. So obviously everyone knows how to dress, but there are some Islamic ethics.
Since we're Muslim ladies, especially Muslim women
yeah. should know. I'll just talk about some of very few ethics about men as well over here. Because you as a Muslim woman, you as a Muslim lady are going to teach this to your husband, to your child, to your mm-hmm. sons, and every man living in your family. So the first very thing our Prophet, may peace be upon him, would take care of in terms of clothes was the cleanliness of clothes mm-hmm. and purity of clothes. These are two different things. First thing is that you have you're wearing very clean clothes. Mm-hmm. And second thing, I said pure. Now, what is the difference between the two? Clean is just clean. It does not have any dirt or
physical cleanliness.
Yeah, clothes are like overall yeah. clean. What does pure mean? Mm-hmm. For example, you have a washed t-shirt or shirt and then a stain of blood is on it.
So it is now clean, but it has a spot of
blood. It is clean, but it's
it.
Not pure now yeah. because you can't offer, you know, prayers in this. So the first thing they would take care of was cleanliness. Mm-hmm. And in the same time, they would make sure that our clothes are pure. Because, you know, you as a mother, go and change the diapers of your kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tens of times. That is very important, yes.
Tens of times in a day. I mm-hmm. don't know. Or you make your, like when you're in the age of motherhood and you are taking care of your kids, making them go to washrooms and cleaning them and all. While cleaning them, you may get impure yourselves.
Exactly.
So you have to take very, very much care about that, being pure and clean always. So whatever the clothes they would, or like, you know, there are many females I have seen who would like, whenever they would want to take their kids to the washrooms, they would change their, you know, pants or trousers so that it may be very easy for them. Their clothes do not get, you know,
yeah.
nuts or impure. Mm-hmm. So cleanliness and purity both were important things. These were the factors that were taken care of in terms of clothing in their family. The second thing, which was very, very important again, was being simple, keeping it simple, you know.
Yeah.
I, as a mother, maybe I wear simple clothes myself, but when it comes to my son or my daughter, I want to make my daughter look like a Cinderella. I want to make my son look like a prince.
Yeah.
I don't keep it simple anymore.
So you yourself are simple, but you do not teach that to your children.
Yes.
From
you, as
kid.
A Muslim lady, have to keep this into consideration. I'm not saying Islam is against making your children look like yeah. princes or princesses or like, you know, but there are some people who are brand freaks.
Yeah, and it starts from your early ages.
Exactly. You know, when you are making your child used to expensive clothes, because your child does not understand what is expansive and inexpansive.
Yeah, exactly.
What he understands is your care,
mm-hmm.
is your attention, is your love. So you as a mother, when you're taking care of a child, when you're making him wear clothes, when you're gifting something to your husband, to your father, keep it simple.
Exactly.
Keep it modest and simple. Because sometimes the clothings out there, they are so immodest. They are not simple anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have simple clothes anymore. So you're in a very biggest challenge to keep your clothings very, very simple. Simplicity was one of the major factors of the clothing of Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha. She had two main factors in her clothing. That was simplicity and modesty.
Yeah, that is very true. So, dear listeners, we're talking about the lifestyle of Sayyida Zahra Salamullah Alayha. And let's go for a short break. We'll be back in no time. Welcome back, dear ladies. Well, we were talking about how to dress up according to the lifestyle of Sayyida Zahra Salamullah Alayha. We got through some points. Sister Zainab has clarified that for us. At the very first point, we talked about purity and then the cleanliness of our dress.
Yeah.
And also the second thing which you mentioned and is very much important, and I guess nowadays we need to care about it, is modesty and simplicity.
Yes, I would explain more on simplicity, but before that I would like to add one more point, is that they would prefer the colors which they would prefer to wear.
Yeah.
So the best color a prophet, may peace be upon him, loved, or his daughter, was the white color.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the scientists, the history, the psychologists have proved that white stands for peace.
Yeah, and it's the symbol of purity.
It's a symbol of purity and also cleanliness.
Yeah.
Since we were discussing cleanliness and purity, now today, in what measures of cleanliness and purity white is used? Look at the medical centers.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the hospitals. Look at the doctors themselves. They wear white aprons. They have white walls in the hospitals. Whatever they have, white is the base color.
And you know, there's another reason.
Which stands for cleanliness.
Yeah, I guess there's another reason for picking white. Because when something is white and a dirt gets into it, you could easily notice that.
Exactly. There you go. So it has the connotations of cleanliness as well as purity.
Mm-hmm.
As you rightly mentioned, it's like a kind of slate wherein you very quickly, you know, recognize when the dirt is coming so that you can clean it up. So, yes, white was something they would prefer. Now, coming back to keeping it simple, they would avoid clothes that would make you center of attraction.
Yeah.
But today, unfortunately, we have advertisements. We have so much going on in the media, which mm-hmm. tell you, if you buy this kind of brand in the party or wherever you will be going, you will be the center of attraction.
Yeah.
Everyone will be looking at you and you will nail it.
Yeah, you will shine like a diamond.
Exactly. So kind of, you know, persuading our minds
mm-hmm.
that be center of attraction.
It's inculcation, you know.
Which is not a part of our, like, culture, Islamic culture or lifestyle.
Narrations, because the Holy Book of Quran also have recommended us to live a simple life.
Yeah, but now living a simple life doesn't mean to live an untidy life. That's why I discussed
both
points. No, the first point that I mentioned was to be tidy, to be clean, to be pure, to take care of what is pure, what is impure. When my dress is getting impure, while you're a mother, you're changing the diapers or you're doing many other things wherein it's possible.
Taking your
that
child to bathroom or whatever.
It's not always about just child. You're washing clothes of everyone in the family.
Yeah.
Other, right? You may get impure through one or the other way, or like the blood stains or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Something gets cut or like, you know, any kind of.
Or even in the kitchen.
Means,
so it happens.
Whenever your clothes get impure, try to make them pure as soon as possible. Do not offer prayers in your impure clothes, because that's another topic about like jurisprudence. We are not authorized to whatever are our main clothes.
Mm-hmm.
We are not authorized to offer our prayers in the impure clothes. So purity and cleanliness is very, very important, because out there, I'll tell you, since I come from Asian culture, we have many, many people, especially living in the rural areas, who would have this concept that the religious people are very untidy people. No.
Which is very wrong.
Which I'm just trying to break this stereotype, yeah. You know. If you're seeing someone who is religious and at the same time he's untidy, he's not following the religion completely.
Exactly.
Because the very first ethics of our clothing, as per Islam, is cleanliness.
And we have it in our narrations.
It's to be pure. It's not only just cleanliness. Even it's to be pure, to have a very pure form of clothing. Mm-hmm. Another example of having pure form of clothing is that you don't buy that clothing from haram money. You buy yeah. that from the money that you earn through legal means, not through illegal means.
Yeah,
that's also something that adds to the purity of your clothes. Mm-hmm. It's not just the external stains, as you mentioned before, that it's the physical cleanliness and this one. So something that's other than physical purity is this, that you make sure that whatever you're buying, whatever you're wearing, mm-hmm. you bought that from the money that you earn through legal means.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Sister Zainab. Let's go for a short break and we'll be back. Thank you, dear listeners. Stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear listeners of Muslim Lady. We are talking to you, all the ladies from all around the world, where we're talking about how to dress up in the best manner, which is more close to the manners of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which is, actually, since we're talking about Muslim Lady, the center of our attention is Lady Fatima, salamullah alayha.
So that's what we were talking about, clothing. We said to keep it simple, to keep it clean, tidy, and pure as well. And we mentioned the differences. Then we said that they would prefer white colors mm-hmm. over other colors. And we said that, again, white connotes a lot of things, the sense of purity, the sense of feast, the sense of cleanliness, and much more.
Yeah.
That's, again, a different topic. We said one of the important things that we discussed was that not to wear something that makes you center of attraction, especially as a woman, especially mm-hmm. as a woman. See, the world is trying to sell you. And earn money.
Exactly.
You as a Muslim lady got to understand this. You got to understand this point, that why I have to be center of attraction
mm-hmm.
to give money into somebody else's pockets. Just see, when a woman is becoming center of attraction, for example, not having a job or having less clothes or having immodest clothes, the more she has to reveal herself, the more she has to spend on her body.
Exactly.
The more she has to make expenses. And just think about it, as Muslim ladies and as intellectual ladies, where this money is going into? Into the productions, the ones who are giving these beauty products or the dresses which make you look attractive.
It goes to their pocket.
Yeah.
And for their benefit, of course.
Now we have one more question. Does it mean we never have to wear some like fancy kind of dresses? No, it never means that. But not always. You know, sometimes there are parties.
And not in the street, of course.
Yeah. Of course not in the streets.
Yeah.
Of course not. We will reach to that point, you know, Asma. There are so many things which would add to this fact of, you know, clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very, very important things. We will come towards them, inshallah.
Inshallah, maybe in another session. So thank you, Sister Zainab. This was all the time that we had. Dear listeners, we're talking about clothing based to the lifestyle of Sayyida Zahra, salamullah alayha. And we talked about quite much of facts. So one of them was that she never wore dresses that would make her the just shining in front of everyone, because that's how she's teaching us. In order to keep it simple, to be pure, and to be always tidy and have this cleanliness and purity, even in our dresses and the things which we wear. So this is all for today's episode. Until another session, I bid you farewell and thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi
ardi. Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي.
What non-Muslims say about Ali, the first successor of Prophet Muhammad? Gerald Dogari, 1897 to 1984, a distinguished soldier and diplomat, says the following about Imam Ali in his book, Rulers of Mecca, page 49. He had been wise in counsel and brave in battle, true to his friends and magnanimous to his foes. He was to be forever the paragon of Muslim nobility and chivalry.
Ali imam e manasto manam gulam e Ali Ali imam manasto manam gulam e Ali badar jaan e girami fida e naam e Ali
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Dear friends, when we talk about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course, we find that this is a persona and an individual and a human being who has been able to transcend time and age. So, for example, we find that in all times of history up until the present day, where over 1,000 years have passed, the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is truly something that should be followed, that must be followed. And if we are to correctly follow the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course, we will find that the world will become a much better and more beautiful place to live in.
it is the different qualities of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we find that are necessary in the present day and age, whether it is social justice, whether it is economic and financial justice, whether it is the taking care of the oppressed and the poor and the downtrodden and the needy, or whether it is to keep in check the different arrogant powers and individuals who take advantage of the oppressed and the weak, or whether it is to keep in check those who amass the wealth to an extent where they can never even use that amount of wealth. All these kind of different points and these kind of different aspects of the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam that are very applicable in today's age and time. And so we wonder is, well, why should we consider the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam to be so important and so integral? Well, this is where the traditions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come into play as regards to how the Holy Prophet described Imam Ali and how the Holy Prophet showed the people the different characters, qualities, and moral virtues and status of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And so on the day of Khaybar, we find that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "I will give the banner of Islam to a man who loves Allah and His Messenger, and Allah and His Messenger love him as well. He is a champion who has never turned his back on war, and he kills the ill-fated enemies of Islam with his sword." And so this, dear friends, is just one of the traditions and one of the historical instances that shows us and proves to us the status of Imam Ali alayhi salam and why his universal persona should be followed. For example, the first thing, Imam Ali loved Allah and His Messenger, and likewise Allah and His Messenger loved him as well. We do not find that the Messenger of Allah has said this about anybody else. And here he's saying that Allah loves him. That's a big thing to say, and that he is a champion who has never turned his back on war, and it is his sword that has killed the enemies of Islam. So we can easily say that if it weren't for the defense of Imam Ali, if it weren't for this persona that inculcated courage and bravery on the battlefield and off the battlefield, if it wasn't for his persona, we would not have something by the name of Islam in the present day. And so it is thanks to the universal persona of Imam Ali that we must follow in the present day if we want to save this world that is going to help us to succeed. And so another profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the program To My Brother. I'm Atta, the producer of this program, and at this moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم إن قلوب المخبتين إليك والها وسبل الراغبين إليك شارعا
وعلى O Allah, verily the hearts of those who surrender to Thee are full of passionate love. The path of those who long for Thee is the straight, true road. The instructions given by those who lead on Thee are distinct and precise. The minds of those who are aware of Thy reality are filled with awe and reverence. The call of those who invite unto Thee is loud and clear, and the doors of approval are kept open for them.
Whoso submits his supplication to thee receives a favorable answer. Whoso turns repentant unto thee gets acceptance and amnesty. Whoso bursts into tears in fear of thy punishment obtains mercy. Whoso seeks redress from thee finds the required assistance at his disposal. Whoso asks for thy help procures the aid as a gift. Thy promise made with thy servants is fulfilled. Whoso asks for pardon of his errors finds them reduced to nothing. Whoso does everything for thy sake discovers that each and every deed has been preserved. The means of livelihood available to the created being come from thee like a rainfall, and in addition, many recurring favors and bounties reach them in regular succession. The sin of those who ask for forgiveness are overlooked. The wants and needs of all that which has been created by thee are properly satisfied. Those who put forward genuine demands get more than they ask for, one after the other, again and again. For the hungry, wholesome food is arranged. For the thirsty, clean water is available in abundance.
Now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
So whenever we hear the fadail of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we must always put the Prophet as not included amongst the people being talked about. This is an automatic rule that we were taught when we were studying. They never include the Prophet in this. When the Imam Ali alayhi salam says, I'm the best at this, except for the Prophet, because he is a servant of the Prophet. So this is an important rule to understand. Now, we come back to the same thing, and I always, as one who prepares lectures, comes up, I face the same difficulties, and that is, how do we begin to describe this great personality or talk about him? And I want to look at it for his life from his power of attraction and his power of repulsion. Yeah? What I mean by that? I mean that Imam Ali alayhi salam has that characteristic where he has the power to attract people towards him, and at the same time, he has the power to repel people away from him. Yes? That means he has this ability to make people love him and hate him at the same time. This is an art, my brothers and sisters. How you can be loved so much and how you can be hated so much. Imam Ali alayhi salam teaches us how to do this. And when we look at history, there is no other personality like Imam Ali alayhi salam who is loved as much and hated as much by people. Since the beginning, there were those who would give their lives for Ali ibn Abi Talib, while there were those who couldn't wait to kill Ali ibn Abi Talib. And that carries on till today. There are people like us that when the name of Ali is said, our hearts begin to beat faster. And there are people who the name of Ali is mentioned, they can't wait to curse Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is till today.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
In the limelight.
In continuation of its wrong policies, the U.S. has administration increased the sale of arms to Taiwan with all its might, causing China's anger and concern. Taiwan is under the sovereignty of China, and America has recognized this issue, but the American government continues to interfere in China's internal affairs and by illegally selling weapons to Taiwan. It is trying to separate it from the mainland of China. Analysts say that the U.S. is trying to implement the Ukrainian model in Taiwan and start a war in this region. Also, China charged the United States with violating its commitment to the One China principle and interfering in internal Chinese affairs. In this regard, we have taken a look at some world media press and news agencies to shed more light on the issue. Stay tuned, please. SputnikNews.com wrote, the U.S. has funneled tens of billions in weapons to Taiwan since 1949 to purportedly help it maintain its autonomy from Beijing, even after officially acknowledging the island is part of China and severing formal relations with Taipei in 1979. As U.S. President Joe Biden recently pressed Congress to approve another $1.1 billion in weapons and military support for Taiwan, experts from Taiwan and mainland China agreed that no amount of American pledges or aid can make Taiwan secure. Only cross-strait peace can do that. Thus far in his administration, Biden has sold $1.65 billion in weapons to the island, meaning the proposed deal would more than double the military aid Biden has given. The move comes weeks after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan and met with senior leaders, despite warnings by Beijing and the Pentagon alike that it would be provocative to do so. Several other U.S. lawmakers have followed suit, and the People's Liberation Army, PLD, held massive war drills all around the island in response. Professor Wang Yiwei, director of the Institute of International Affairs at Beijing's Renmin University of China, told Sputnik, actually, the U.S. should be worried about a military confrontation, conflict, or even war with China. But the Americans will lose face after Pelosi's visit and China's very strong response, which we saw during the military drill. Wang noted that U.S. foreign policy is driven gradually by the military-industrial complex, causing it to swing from supporting a long-term confrontation with Russia in Ukraine to conflicts in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan to selling weapons to Taiwan. He said America has had an even failed governance domestically and then asks the world to pay the cost. They are playing the Taiwan card. They even want to copy the Ukraine model in the Taiwan Strait. It's only to sell weapons, only to target China or bash Russia. The website of ABC News explains more about this story, saying China's foreign ministry charged the United States with violating its commitment to the One China principle and interfering in internal Chinese affairs recently after the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee approved a new bill that could significantly increase American defense support for the island of Taiwan. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Mao Ning told reporters in Beijing that China had lodged serious complaints with Washington over the legislation, which still needs the U.S. House and President Joe Biden's approval to become law. Ning said the One China principle is the political foundation of China-U.S. relations, adding, if the bill continues to be deliberated, pushed forward, or even signed into law, it will greatly shake the political foundation of China-U.S. relations and cause extremely serious consequences to China-U.S. relations, and peace and stability across Taiwan Strait. Under its One China policy, the United States recognizes the government in Beijing while allowing for informal relations and defense ties with Taipei. It takes a stance of a strategic ambiguity toward the defense of Taiwan, leaving it open whether it would respond militarily were the island attacked. The Taiwan Policy Act of 2022, approved by the committee recently, sets out to support the security of Taiwan and its right of self-determination, providing billions of dollars in defense funding to enhance its counter-intervention capabilities. Democratic Senator Bob Menendez, who co-authored a bipartisan bill with Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, claimed that its focus is on deterrence and that China should not see it as a threat. The committee's approval of the bill comes at a time when tensions between Beijing and Washington were already high over Taiwan following the recent visit of U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to Taipei. The website of Anti-War elaborates more about the story, saying a U.S. Senate committee on Wednesday, September 14th, approved a bill to dramatically boost American military support for Taiwan, a move that prompted warnings from both China and anti-war voices in the United States that such a policy increases the likelihood of armed conflict. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted 17-5 in favor of the Taiwan Policy Act of 2022, which according to its text promotes the so-called security of Taiwan, ensures purported regional stability, and deters that U.S. Senate claims People's Republic of China, PRC, aggression against Taiwan. It also threatens severe sanctions against the PRC for action against Taiwan. The bill comes during a period of heightened tensions between Washington and Beijing and follows recent Pelosi's provocative trip to Taiwan, a visit the Chinese government answered by suspending climate and military cooperation with the United States and forging closer ties with Russia. Dave DeCamp, news editor at antiwar.com, tweeted that if passed, the bill will be the most radical change in U.S. policy toward Taiwan since the 1970s and will make war much more likely. China vigorously protested the proposed legislation. Observers asserted that China may ramp up military measures in response to the bill.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir la'in rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program Keys of Life, Mafatihul Hayat. One of the keys of life is protecting yourself and avoiding harm. Islam has informed and instructed us that we need to take care of our body mentally and physically. And why is that? It is simple, because mentally and physically is what we need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I harm myself in any way, shape, and form, I'm depriving myself that worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I and you will be questioned about that. As we mentioned previously, that this body that we have is actually an amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a trust, a covenant between us and Allah has been made about taking care of our bodies and that we need to worship Him. Now, the ma'sumin, the infallibles, in this regard, they say that you must protect yourself from harm. And one of the ways that we protect our bodies from harm is that we need to take extra care when it comes to our eating habits. What we eat, what we drink, it must be maintained. We see that Imam Rida alayhi salam, he himself said, لو أن الناس قصروا في الطعام, if people eat less, لاستقامت أبدانهم, their bodies will be rectified, they will be strong. And also was narrated from one of the infallible saying, من قل طعامه صح بدنه, he who eats less, then his body will be healthy. And you can tell from what you see in today's world that we have a problem, a big problem, and that is obesity. We have people who are obese and too sick and too frail to do anything. So this all has to do with our eating habits. The less we eat, the healthier we are. And we've been told from medical experts that most of the diseases, if not all of them, are actually caused due to food and the things that we consume. So I and you have a requirement to take care of our body. When we eat, we have to know what we are eating. Is it good for me? Is it bad for me? It's not a matter of taste. It's not a matter of preference. It's not a matter of desire. This is our health we are talking about. Once we lose it, we have nothing else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt have instructed us to take good care of our bodies. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, Al-ma'idatu hawdul badan. The abdominal is the carrier of the whole body. Wal-uruqu ilayha waridatun. And the arteries are rivers that flows into it. فَإِن صَحَّتْ الْمَعْدَةُ, when the abdominal is safe and healthy, صَدَرَتْ الْعُرُوقُ بِالصَّحَّةِ, these arteries become healthy as well. So we can see that the body itself will get affected by what we eat and what we consume. As Muslims, we have a duty to take care of our bodies. Let us take a short break and we will come back right after.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatih al Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes.
یه جلدش هی مفاتیح الجنان است چه فرم دماغ و ثواب داره فرم روزون
One volume, the present volume, مفاتیح الجنان, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc.
یه جلدش کم داره و اینه که فرم درخکاری اینجا کم ثواب داره دعا هم داره ثواب هم داره
But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree.
امام اونطوری که رو گفته بودم گفته دی اون امامی که گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری اون ثواب داره
امام has mentioned both of these subjects. The very imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree.
محیط زیست نگه سالم نگه داره این دقل ثواب داره
There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment.
وقتی میخوای کشاورزی کنی یه قد گندم بگیر رو به قبله بیست این دعا رو بخون اینم هم امام گفته دیگه
When growing wheat take some in your hand and say these prayers These are what the very imam has mentioned
تو نظام اسلامی این جلد دوم جاش خالی
We lack this second volume in Islamic world
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Mafatih al-Hayat, Keys of Life, and we're looking at one of the keys of life, and that is to take care of your body. Now, we can take care of our body physically, and sometimes we need to take care of our body mentally as well. Because if a person mentally going through traumas, stress, depression, sadness, and all these things in between, which we seem to have a lot these days, then obviously it will hinder the work and the functionality of my body. The more I take care of my mental state, the happier my body is. Even medical experts, they tell us that those who have mental issues or those who stress a lot, they cause their body to be sick. So it's not a matter of the body only, but if I and you mentally not stable, not healthy, not happy, then that will obviously have an effect on my body. And if I have so many things in my mind, if I am worried, confused, depressed, sad, how am I going to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him with full conscience? We see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ahlul Bayt, they even give us instructions to take care of our mental health. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Safiru tasuhu," travel, for you will be healthy. Now we know that if I'm sick physically and I travel, it's not going to cure my cancer, nor will it cure my ulcer or anything else, but at least it will help me mentally. When we travel, we kind of remove all the worry that we have, all the depression that we have. We see something new, different faces, different places. It makes me and you much, much more healthier, much more happier. We get more excited, and so on and so forth. So the Prophet says, you need to take care of your mental health. Go travel. Go for a trip. Relieve yourself of everyday stress. That's also an instruction from the Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam. Also, as the Ahlul Bayt tell us, not only you have the physical part of the body you have to worry about, not only you have the mental part to worry about, but also you have to take care of your spirituality as well. Because this is also another dimension of the human being that needs to be happy. Allah says in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبُ. Surely with the remembrance of Allah, the hearts will be content. Happiness, inner happiness, inner peace will only come if we are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we indulge in the worldly matter and desires, the more depressed and sad we will be. Therefore, you see Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, he says in a hadith where he talks about Salatul Layl, the night prayer. And he says, waking up during the night, praying your night prayer, it keeps your body healthy, not only physically, but also spiritually. Again, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi says, being silent, being quiet is health, is safeguard. The less we talk, the less we say things, the more comfortable and relaxed our souls are. So let us take care of our bodies more often. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of dreams. Hear the children's screams.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kHz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
From our imams, the ninth imam is the first, whose imamat began at a very young age, about 8 or 9.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Jafar, Muhammad ibn Ali, al-Barakati.
Peace be upon you, O Abu Jafar, Muhammad, the son of Ali, the righteous, the pious.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm your host Mahdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam was the ninth divinely appointed imam among the household of the Holy Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. Imam al-Jawad was also the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, and His Eminence undertook the imamat and the religious leadership of the Muslims after his father's death, the martyrdom of Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam. As historians have unanimously agreed, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was not more than 7 years old when he undertook the imamat and the religious leadership of the Muslims. Now, this great role of the imamat and the religious and spiritual and political leadership of the Muslims, of course, would not befit a keeper who had the mentality of a child and who was only a mere 7 years old. Because if one is to plunge into the fields of knowledge and wisdom, or enter into any kind of debate or controversies, especially so with great scholars and specialists, the amount of knowledge and wisdom needed must surpass that of even a very aged person. But we find that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, despite being not more than 7 years old, broke this notion and showed the world that though he was still a child, but because he was a divinely appointed imam on behalf of Allah, he was able to enter the fields of knowledge and wisdom and win in the debates and controversies against great scholars and specialists.
parts of Ziyarah texts of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Peace be upon you, O shining lights. Peace be upon you, O rising full moon. Peace be upon you, O pure one from among the pure ones. Peace be upon you.